Thank you, Rashida. Thank you, worship team. That was beautiful this morning. And thank you, Dorcas. Okay, so this morning, I have been thinking a little bit about how we walk with God. Because, you know, for most of us, our lives, we all have a set time frame, don't we, for our life? And we walk with God. And I've walked with God since I was about 7 years of age. So for some of us, it's a long walk with God. And a lot of things happen in our lifetime, don't they? Some really exciting things, things that make us rejoice and swell with joy and gratitude. But some things happen in life that cause us to wince, cause us to have pain, cause us to wonder and struggle and ask questions of God. How do we walk with God in it all? How do we stay walking with God, whether it's one of those joyous times or whether it's one of those times of struggle? And how do we find and live in the joy of God even in the midst of the things that worry us and the things that would cause us to be a little bit anxious? So I want to start by just asking the question, because I don't want to focus on all the difficulties. Because I know one thing, God is with us in whatever difficulty. God is in us whatever time we're in. So I want to start with, what are the blessings that we have in God? And I want you to shout out some blessings that you have, that I have, that we have. Because we're blessed people, aren't we? No matter what's going on in our natural worlds, in our earthly relationships, we are a blessed people. We are a people loved by God. And he never turns his back on us. He's always there for us. Any other blessings? Anybody else want to tell me another something that you know? God's a blessing. Cover, protection, provision. Amen. Absolutely. He is our protector. He covers us. He provides for us. Anybody else got anything they want to throw out as blessings that we have? Sorry? Salvation. Absolutely. Not one of us could get to be with God in heaven apart from Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Absolutely. Health. Amen. Amen. Healing. God is our healer. Sometimes we have issues in our body, but God is our healer. And we ask God to release that healing. He released that healing on the cross, in fact. He released everything we need for health and wholeness. And we believe that God heals us when we're sick, because he is our healer. He is our healer. Anything else? Guidance. Absolutely. When we don't know which way to turn, he is our guide. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. We are a blessed people. So I don't want us to go away today thinking about all the negative stuff. I want us to go away remembering that, yes, tough stuff happens, but we have a God who is with us, and he walks with us, and he is for us and not against us. He reveals himself to us through the tough things that we sometimes have to face. So my next slide does list some of the things that might concern us. Some of them are personal things. You know, some of us, you know, when somebody dies, we grieve. We're sad. It's tough. When we have a difficulty at work, or maybe we lose our job, and we have financial problems, And there's, you know, life throws at us all sorts of things. And because we've got the TV and because we've got our social media, not only do we have all the stuff that's going on in our own lives, we see the stuff that's going on the other side of the world. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes find it really overwhelming. Lord, I don't want to see any more death and killing and war. I don't want to see any more of that. But it's happening. It's real. How do we keep walking with God when the world is full of such anguish and turmoil? And, you know, some of those things, they are, you know, sometimes the personal and what's going in the world cross over. There's people in this community who are personally affected by the wars in Iran, the war in Ukraine, Sometimes it can feel really overwhelming. There's an overlap for some people. But I want us to be encouraged this morning that no matter what is going on in the world, our God is with us. He is for us. He is working out his plan and his purpose, whether we can see or understand it or not. I want to go to the next slide and talk a little bit about the King David. Remember David? Started off as a little shepherd boy, brave little shepherd boy, fighting with the lions and the bears, protecting the sheep that God had given him. And along comes Samuel and anoints him to be king. And then he goes. Do you know what? I'm sure he got a lot of mocking by his brothers. He was the youngest in the family. They were like, no, you can't come and fight Goliath. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. A lot of people would have, you know, especially his brothers, put him down. You're not worth it. You're not worth it. You can't come. But then he was the one who went, and he fought Goliath, didn't he? And the reason he could beat Goliath was he knew who his God was. It wasn't about who he was. It was about who his God was. He was facing the biggest challenge of his life. If you thought fighting the lions and the wolves was scary enough, he now was facing this giant Goliath. But he knew who his God was. Do you know who your God is in the midst of whatever it is that you're facing? Do you know who your God is? His brothers would have mocked him. And he rose to prominence. He became a famous, famous warrior in the Israelite army. And of course, we know the story, don't we? King Saul got very jealous because David got more praise than he did. And Saul chased him and pursued him and wanted to kill him. This man that David had looked up to turned on him, betrayed him, pursued him. We know that David wasn't perfect. We know that he sinned. He slept with another man's wife. He sent her husband to the battlefield to get killed. He wasn't perfect, but he repented of his sin. He received God's forgiveness. He continued to walk with his God. And the reason I've chosen to talk about David a little bit is because he was the man that God said, he is a man after my own heart. David was the man who pursued the heart of God, who had a heart like the heart of God. He wasn't exempt from battles. He wasn't exempt from suffering and from difficulty. But he had a heart that was after God's heart. He pursued God. He pursued God and lived for him. And David was somebody who, David wrote a huge number of the book of Psalms. He was a songwriter, he was a lyricist, he wrote many of the Psalms. And I want us to look at Psalm 13. This is one of the Psalms that David wrote. We don't know when he wrote this Psalm. We don't know exactly when, but it's an expression of some of his distress. It begins with, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" He starts with questioning God, questioning that maybe, God, you've forgotten me. Maybe, God, you're not interested in me anymore because I am in this difficult situation. How long, God, do I have to wait before I am vindicated? How long do I have to wait before I am able to come out of hiding? How long do I have to wait before I'm healed, some of you may think, or before my job situation changes, or I don't feel so lonely, or I don't, whatever. How long? How long, God? How long before the war in the Middle East is going to come to an end? How long before the war in Ukraine is coming to an end? How long the war in Myanmar? And many, many other parts of this world. How long, Lord? How long? Do you ever find yourself saying, "How long, Lord? How long? How long?" This is David's lament. And he complains to God and he says, "Lord, are you still there? Do you still remember me?" Do you know what? I love this. I love about this. Even though he is saying, "You've forgotten me," he's still talking to him. Even though he's saying, "Are you still there?" he's still talking to him. I love that. And that's a reflection of his heart that knows that even though the circumstances don't look good, my God is still there. My God still loves me, but he's able to question him. He's able to pour out his heart to him. God doesn't mind. If you are sad about something, if you are distressed about something, God doesn't mind for us to pour out our heart to him. He can cope with that. He can cope with that. He feels that God's abandoned him. He's pouring out his heart to him. Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember Jesus? Do you remember Jesus at the crucifixion? Do you remember Jesus hanging on the cross? Totally bearing your and my sin. Carrying our sin so that God the Father has to separate himself from him. Because of the sin that he's carrying on our behalf. And Jesus on the cross says, "God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God hadn't forsaken him. But in that moment, Jesus expressed his pain to God. It's okay to express our pain to God. And you know what I love that about Jesus as well is there's no suffering, there's no pain that anything that you and I can live through that ever can compare to the pain that Jesus took on our behalf. If he took that for me, he took that for me. He took that for me. He took that for you. There's nothing that I suffer that compares to what he did for me. I can face anything because I've got him who totally understands what it is to suffer. He lived as a human. He lived as a human. He totally understands. There's that lovely verse in Isaiah about Jesus. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and held in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. He understands every depth of pain and suffering and difficulty. He understands. He understands. He understands. So David pours out his heart to God. And if we move on to the next verses in Psalm 13. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemies will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. You see, David's prayer started with him pouring out his heart to God, but he moved on from there, and he began to plead with God to intervene. He turned that prayer into prayers of intercession, saying, God, will you come and change this situation for me? Give light to my eyes. Let me see what you see, God. Let me understand what your thoughts are about this situation. I don't want to stay in this place anymore, God. Will you come and intervene? Because we have a God who intervenes. Not one of the prayers that you have prayed, that you have cried out to God with, has fallen to the ground unheard or unanswered. We have a God who sees each and every one of us, and every prayer, every tear, every cry of our heart, he has heard it and he responds. He intervenes on our behalf because we are his children. What mother and father do not respond to the cries of their children? Our heavenly Father responds to each one of us as we call out to him. And then the last, it's a very short psalm, the last two verses of this psalm. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Wow. What a difference from verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4. And then we get to verse 5 and 6, and David is able to make the declaration. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. God, David is now rejoicing in his God. He isn't staying stuck in his pain, in his grief, in his anguish. He brought it to God. God loves us to bring that stuff to him. He asked God to intervene. And I believe in those moments that the Holy Spirit came to him and the Holy Spirit touched his heart. The Holy Spirit began to shift his eyes so that he could see things. He could see how good God is. And he was able to make those declarations of faith. Now, I doubt that the situation has changed. We've got 6 verses. I don't think it took hours or days or months for David to write that psalm. In a matter of moments, he encountered God and God reminded him just who he was. And I don't think his situation had changed. Maybe he was still hiding in a cave from King Saul. Maybe he was still hurt and betrayed because of the betrayal that he'd had. Maybe the situation hadn't changed, but his heart was full of praise. His heart was full of declarations of the goodness and the love of God. And you know, that's where we, his people, can live. Jesus understands humanity. Jesus lived as a human being on this earth. He understands that there are human relationships, that there are everyday things that we do in our human state. Jesus, remember, he mourned when Lazarus died. Do you remember? He looked out over Jerusalem and he wept because the people of Jerusalem were lost and they had forgotten their God and they didn't know him anymore. Jesus can relate to every human emotion that we have. We are human beings after all. It's okay to tell him about those things, but he also wants us to live at the same time in that place in the spirit where we know who he is and we know who we are in him and we can rejoice whatever our circumstances. Whatever is going on, that we will be those that rejoice in him. We don't deny the pain. We don't deny the suffering. God wants us to talk about it. It's okay to talk about it. But we don't live in the pain and the suffering. We live in Jesus Christ and the truth of what he has said about us and to us. And the truth that we can trust him, even if the situation hasn't changed yet, even if the person that we're praying for who's sick is not yet healed. Jesus, you said you are the healer. I trust you, God. I trust you no matter what I see. No matter what I see, I trust you, God. I give you my pain, but I trust you, God. That's what David was able to do. And we can do the same because we have a Jesus who walked this earth, who suffered, who lived, who suffered, who died, who rose again. We don't want to stay in the lament. We want to acknowledge the lament, but live in the place with Christ that sits above and beyond, that sits trusting in him. You see, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And when he comes to comfort us, he also comes to remind us that God is trustworthy and faithful and true. So if we have the summary up on the screen, we are blessed children of God. Life can be hard at times. And it's okay to be real with God about what is going on. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to bring us comfort, to bring us reassurance, and just his presence in our lives. If you're going through a tough time, share it with somebody else. Ask them to pray for you. That's good. We need to be here for one another. But we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And we declare the truth about who he is. The one who understands suffering more than we can comprehend. And we keep doing the things that he's called us to do. You know, there's that verse in the Bible, isn't there, about someone else is going to have to correct me because I forgot to look it up, about character and how our character is developed through perseverance. Anybody can tell me where that is? You can look it up if you've got Google or something. It would be helpful. I'd like to read that verse, and I don't have it in my notes. It only just popped in my head, so I'd love to read that out. A few people are looking it up. Thank you. Suffering produces faith and character and perseverance, and all those words are in there, but I can't remember what order. Sorry? Romans 5. Thank you, Thomas. Romans 5, verse 3. Thank you. Romans 5, verse 3. Yes. It says here, I'll start from the beginning. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Sometimes God doesn't say yes to our prayers immediately because he wants to work something else, something out in our hearts with him. Sometimes. And when we persevere, our character is developed and our hope is in him. Let's keep our hope in him. I want to talk a little bit about a couple of people who did that. People in the Bible who kept their hope in God, even though they were in a difficult season. Remember the story? You remember Peter? Peter, when he was in prison? And there's that wonderful story in the New Testament where he's in prison and there's some other people there with him, and they start worshiping God. He's been put in prison because he's been telling people about Jesus, and the authorities don't like it. And he gets thrown into prison. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was thrown into prison for telling people about Jesus, I'm not sure whether I would be particularly happy about it. I don't know. I mean, conditions in prisons today are a bit nicer than they probably were in Peter's day. But they worshipped God in the prison. And we don't know how long they'd been there. It was a relatively short time, I think, but they started to worship God. And it was as they praised and worshipped God from their prison that the prison doors flew open. They got released. But they found it in themselves to praise and worship God, even though they were in a tough place. We had a sermon a couple of weeks ago talking about the importance of being thankful, whatever's going on, remembering to be thankful. And it reminds me of that. Whatever's going on, being thankful and rejoicing in God, because God's not changed. He's always worthy of our praise. He's always worthy of our adoration and our worship. The other person I want to draw our attention to is Paul. Remember how many times Paul went on some incredible missionary journeys? He did some incredible things with God. But he too ended up in prison, didn't he? What did he do in prison? He wrote many of the letters that we find in the Bible. Now, I don't know, if I was in prison, would I be writing to the community, the church in Sindelsham, to encourage you in your faith and your walk with God? Would I be writing to the Didcot community saying, come on, keep strong in the Lord, keep telling people about Jesus? It's challenging, isn't it? But we've all got hope in Christ Jesus. And we can minister that hope to others, even from wherever we're sat in our own lives. God wants us to live in that place where our hope in Him takes us beyond the everyday circumstances in front of us. And you might be thinking, well, that's all right for Peter, that's all right for Paul, that's all even all right for Sue. But you know, it's that place that He wants us all to live. Trusting in Him, declaring our trust in Him, whatever's going on, and choosing to encourage other people, even when we think we need a bit of encouragement ourselves. Because we have a good God who never lets us down. Now, it's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day today, and I want to share a story, because for some people, Mother's Day is difficult. Some people didn't have the relationship with their mother that they would have liked. Some people longed that they could be a mother, and they weren't ever able to be a mother. So some people are rejoicing today because they've got a lovely mum, and they want to thank God for her, and they should. It's right. It's important that we do. But for some people, it's more painful having a Mother's Day. And that's okay. It's okay to tell God about the pain. But we also need to hear God about His truth in that place of pain. Some of you know, me and Nathan and I, Nathan's my husband, we didn't have children. We would have loved to have children, and we weren't able to have children. And the day that we knew we couldn't have children, we wept. And we cried out to God, and we said, God, I don't understand this pain. I don't understand. But do you know what those situations do for us? They remind us what our core beliefs are. Because I heard the Holy Spirit remind me. The Holy Spirit reminded me what I believe. And what I believe is that God never withholds good things from His children. And if He is withholding from us having children, it's because He's got something better. God never withholds something good from His children. Now, I still believed that He could have still have healed. He could still have released a child to me. But in my heart, my declaration became, even in my pain, my declaration became, God, You don't withhold good things from Your children. If I don't have children on this earth, in the natural, it's because You've got something better for me. And do you know what? 30 years on, I rejoice in God. And do you know what? God has given me more children in the kingdom of God than I would ever have had if I'd had them in my arms to hold. He taught me to declare His truth even in face of whatever the pain is. I have more children. I consider every child in this church to be as my child. I actually consider every person in this community to be as my family. I don't feel like I have missed out anymore at all. Because God is a good God. He heals the brokenhearted, but He requires that we grab hold of His truth and we make those declarations of truth about Him and truth about His promises. And I know there are people in this room who are carrying weight of pain in your hearts. It's okay to release that pain to one another and to God. But I remind us this morning, choose the truth that you will live by. Make the declarations of truth that you will stand by. that God does not withhold a good thing from his children. If he is withholding something, it is because he has something better for you. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's not because he doesn't care about you. It's not because he has forgotten you. If your family are caught up in a war on the other side of the world, what is your truth today? Your truth is that God is still in control, that God still loves me, and that he is my protector, and I call on him to be the protector for my family. Whatever it is, find the truth and hold to that truth. Declare the truth that you will live by. Do not let your faith fall to the ground. Grab hold of that statement of truth, that statement of faith, and declare it. Live by it. Ask God to remind you what it is and hold on to it and see what he will do. See what he will do. Before we return to worship, I'm going to ask us to stand, and I would like us to make a few declarations together. I want us to make a few declarations just to ground this, that we actually do this together. So if you want to join in with that, I ask you to stand. And I'm going to say some phrases. And as I speak these phrases out, if you want to grab hold of them, if you want to make that declaration to God for yourself, then just repeat the phrase after me. Father God, thank you that I can trust you. Thank you that you haven't forgotten me. That you have seen every prayer, every tear. And you have heard every cry. You are trustworthy, my God. And you do not withhold good things from your children. Thank you, God. That you are my healer. Thank you, God. That you are my deliverer. That you are my redeemer. That everything that I care about, you care about. Everything I've asked you to intervene, you are acting on my behalf. And when I have to wait for the answer, you are still coming with an answer. God, help me to understand your ways.
God, help me to understand your ways.
And walk in your truth.
And walk in your truth.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. We're going to return to worship. And if you know God has touched your heart this morning, and you would like to receive prayer, you can come to the front. There will be people here who can pray with you. Maybe you have a pain in your heart and you would just like to receive help with just offering that back to God. Maybe there's an area that you know that you have let go of your faith and your trust in God and you want to make a declaration with somebody else this morning. I am going to trust God in this. Let's be God's people. Let's trust our incredible Father in heaven. He is an amazing God. He is with us, and we walk with him in good times and hard times because he doesn't change. Amen.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. And I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. And sin separated The breach was far too wide, but from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide.